Hello, everyone. I'm Darian Gold, and welcome to All Things Pilates Season 5. There is a collective fascination with Joe Pilates, his method, and inventions. The exercise paradigm continues to evolve, as does our understanding of Joe's genius. So join us, because we know there is always more to explore. Healing is a word that's tossed around a lot, even in the Pilates community. But what constitutes healing? And how do we know if healing is taking place? There are many paths to healing, and the melodic sound and vibrational resonance of crystal singing bowls is such a path. Here to explain about this growing field is Carrie Miller, a Pilates teacher who teaches Pilates in Scottsdale, Arizona, and has combined sound healing into her teaching. Hello, Carrie. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me, Darian. I love the work that you do, and I'm so pleased and grateful to be here today.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. What brought you to Pilates?
Well, thank you for asking. It's been an interesting journey. I am a movement teacher, and I started with dance. And as a dance student, I was injured late in my teens, and I went on to dance professionally and go to college. So during my study in college, I was introduced to somatics, learning, Alexander technique, Bartynieff technique, Laban movement, as well as Pilates. The Bartynieff work, Eve Gentry was the protege, and she was the president of the Bartynieff and Laban Association in New York when she was working with Joe. So she was very connected to these developmental movement patterns, which I believe enhanced her work with Joe. So by learning these patterns alongside the Pilates method, I began to rebuild some strength and really coordination in my movement. So as you're developing and you have these injuries and compensations in that time, I always wanted the part, right? Even if you're hamstring, I had a hamstring tear. I was still kicking the left leg, which I had no business doing. But this kind of work was helpful and allowed me to restore. When I finished college, I was continued to dance professionally, but I realized that I needed another outlet for my body. And I also loved the art of the Pilates work in the sense that it wasn't about form in the way dance was. It was about embodiment. And I could just move for me. There was no performance. And it was so connected, right? So connected to myself.
And you know what? If I could just interrupt you for a moment, that seems to be a recurring observation and unfortunately, a theme that is throughout the Pilates industry is this performance aspect. And it goes against what I think Joe's vision was and what you're just articulating now about experiencing this work really for yourself from the inside out. So it doesn't matter. We aren't on stage. Those of us who danced, it's we have to switch something in our brain and in our sort of our heart space too, so that we bring this in as a modality to help us become as whole as possible.
Yeah, I agree, Darian, that this idea of performance versus embodiment, and that we all move in our own beautiful and unique ways. We all have an individual signature. And it's how we express that, and it's that movement is expression that interests me. It's not just a physicality.
I like it. Okay, with all...
Right? And then there's freedom, right?
Okay, so all of this yummy explanation and embodiment understanding, how the hell do you pay your bills?
Right. I mean, there is that there was a season of where I was really in the arts world. And I mean, I was fortunate enough to be married, but we were still young and we were still trying to make it in LA. And, you know, the universe has a way of opening doors when you want where you need to go. So unfortunately, I went to grad school at University of California, Irvine. I had another injury, a knee injury, and that pulled me out for a while of school. And so I was doing a lot more research, video choreography, and I had to take a step back in that moment. It's like you're almost 30.
Oh my God.
Are you going to be able to do this? Right? I know it's young, but it's not, right? Are you going to be able to do this? What is your, what is your big vision? Because when you grow up dancing and you have this life and you're on stage and performing and it's exhilarating to be in the studio every day. But what does it look like to expand on that? And I felt the call, right, to be a Pilates teacher who danced instead of a dancer who taught Pilates on site.
That's a difference.
My choreography was always very intentional based, like very intention. Every time I take a step in a new direction, it's with intention, and it's someone, the universe, God, leading me there. So once I fully decided to commit to that, doors open. So I was able to do some management work for Spectrum, now Bay Clubs in Los Angeles, for their Redondo Beach location and their El Segundo location, and manage a group of studios, teachers. And that was a really wonderful experience. It was fantastic. So I was able to pay my bills because I decided to work more in corporate fitness as opposed to starting my own studio.
Okay. And what year are we talking about? When did all this take place?
Yes. And so let's go back a little bit. My first certification was in 1999 through the Physical Mind Institute with Maria Leone in Beverly Hills. It was their mat level one. I was a dancer, still dancing, working with a nonprofit company, performing. And I just was so ready to take a certification. So that was my first cert. I went on, so that was 99. So I've been in the industry a long time. The lawsuit happened, right? The lawsuit.
The
And all
lawsuit.
this.
That's going to be the name of our Netflix doc.
The lawsuit happened and it changed the work. So what happened is everyone had to change the name. We couldn't even call it Pilates in 2000. We had to call it intelligent exercise. Interesting to the Scottsdale market, because we were living in Scottsdale at that time. Maura Stott, she has a house here. So she had a presence and her equipment had a presence in the commercial fitness companies around the valley and in the local studios. So she had a Stott training center. And at the time, I knew it was still like having these injuries. I was like, I have to take something else. So I took her mat level one that's at the Stott Center and the reformer one. So they're in modules back in the early 2000s. It was in modules. And we had to get videotaped to go to Mora to get the approval. We had to take a 3-hour exam. And it was like, we had a lot of hours of apprenticing. It was a big deal back then. But I wasn't even allowed to progress those after those two pieces of equipment until I was fully integrated.
What does that mean exactly, fully integrated?
My master trainer, who is also Physical Mind certified, and she did gyrotonic and some healing modalities, she did not want us to learn anything else but mat and reformer. And that was,
Oh.
she really wanted us to only be on those two, in those two ideas. Limiting, because I was ready to feel the arcs and the barrels and the Cadillac. I wanted it all. So I knew, and I was working at that center.
You
So I knew
wanted
I
the
was
system.
limited.
You wanted to have the system in your
I
body.
want, yes. And as wonderful as mat and reformer are, it's just not the complete system. So I did have a change there of path, and that's when I went to grad school, right? And I was able to, I just wanted to dive back in and do art and dance. So we were in LA. And then once I finished with that, I finished my certification under Stott through the John Gary Studio in around 2007. So I went through all the apparatus and I had to retake all the tests. Yeah. And again, that time, right, because of the lawsuit and because of that era that movement science was in, it was very muscular based. So the cueing was very transverse abdominis lifts to connect the abs, concentric, eccentric, which is valid. Those are the muscles working. But from my training and how I moved was from a fundamental perspective. The cues lined up more with classical. So I've always tended to be in studios with classical teachers. Even though we have slightly different language, we're still talking front body, back body. We're still talking breath support. We're still talking grounding. So I think language is really the key to start bringing communities together.
That's interesting. Language. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. So fast forward, pandemic, I decided with intention that I wanted to teach teachers. I just felt the pull. And it was such an interesting time because we as teachers were teaching our students online. And suddenly we all developed this skill and we kind of liked it. We're like, whoa, I can actually teach on video. This is actually something I can do. And so once people gained some confidence in that, they began taking class. I'm sure you've experienced that too, Darian, with your business.
Actually, I was teaching with using Skype probably 15 years ago. So the idea of like a two-dimensional experience wasn't completely foreign, but it was a different environment now in 2020.
And I mean, you were ahead of the curve. Most of us didn't really want to go to digital, but we figured if we need, you know, how could we do this? So as a master teacher, I was encouraged by my coach at that time, Leslie Logan. She's like, you need to get online. How are you going to reach the teacher in Kansas? She can't come to you in Scottsdale and pay all this money to train with you and talk about somatics and fascia. So how are you going to reach them? So for me, that was that bold step of stepping in. And what I found was that when we strip back the identification and we just use language like breath, core support, front body, back body, and we really just pulled all the equipment ideas away in terms of, is this classical or contemporary? And we just worked with each other in a safe space. I had 50% classical and 50% contemporary, and they were all interacting. And it was
wonderful,
amazing, because it was like the movement brought us together. The exploration
yes.
brought us together. So,
yes.
you know, there's no off-putting language. Just like everyone
yes.
is invited to the party. And that's that inclusion piece. That's part of the teaching fundamentals too, is that we're all invited. There's always
yes.
a seat. Yeah.
Yes. That should be a t-shirt. Carrie, before we talk about sound healing, why did you feel the need at this point to add this modality to your Pilates teaching?
Great question. So Pilates, as wonderful as it is a movement modality. We are thinking while we're moving. Whether you'd usually have a teacher, even if you're in your self-practice and you know the work really well, you can go to a very movement is meditation space if you're an advanced practitioner. However, there's still a sense of movement. Whereas finding sound and breathwork healing, which is another modality I also teach, drops you into your parasympathetic nervous system. So we get to calm the mind and go into the rest and digest mode. So for me, during the pandemic, it was very stressful. I homeschooled my kids. I had to shift the way we did life, our finances. I mean, unfortunately, we saw quite a few studios locally not make it. It was heartbreaking for our community. It really was. And there was a lot of clients and people that, you know, had issues from COVID and long COVID. And there's a collective trauma in that.
100%.
And the sound and sound healing gives my nervous system a chance to pause. I don't have to think about doing anything, but I can still be in an embodied experience, meaning I can still connect to myself without doing. Because the sound has these vibrations and it hits you on that cellular level, and they're aligned to the chakra system, or you could say the parts of the body. So it grounds you, it roots you, it clears that emotional energy that sometimes we can't get to in Pilates. Like it's either emotion, it's bone movement, it's fascia or muscle strength. That's the four. It's one of those four. And if I can't get to it in one of the three, then we've got to sit down and clear it.
And you felt compelled to share this with your students based really on the trauma that even if people didn't actually have COVID or long COVID, just the trauma of this time in our history, it was in their cells. And you saw in their Pilates practice that there was something that was missing that you knew you could provide perhaps this healing modality link.
Yeah, so my work has always been energetic. Tactile cueing is a part of the way I teach. It's a passing of energy. I can typically feel when the vibration in the tissue is low, but I can't always touch every person all the time, right? And the sound touches people. It touches people so deeply, and it moves you into a place of inner consciousness, right? That inner child, that playful being where that experience is like freedom, surrender, peace.
Can I ask you, when you have hands on, and let's say you're spotting someone doing an exercise, whether it's on the mat or the ladder barrel, you're saying that you can feel the, let's say the stuckness or the inability for the body to release to therefore find the elongation and find the strength underneath that. You can feel in your fingertips or sense energetically.
Well, the energetic body goes out from us 8 feet. So I can sense it when I walk into a room. I did study with Madeline Black, so I was able to refine those skills. Muscle energy technique I learned from her, as well as some of her hands-on fascia glides and fascia unwinding. So I do know some of those techniques.
Within a Pilates exercise?
Yeah.
Interesting. Can you give an example?
Yes, in rotation. So spine twists, for example, seated, if we want to make it a little more accessible for maybe my active ager client or a beginning, right? Seated on the reformer, feeling, you know, if we're going to rotate to our right, feeling that right sits bone drop, the lumbar translates slightly right and the ribs translate slightly left, making that diagonal. So that is the uplift as we spiral around. What I tend to see is where maybe the pelvis is not in its grounded position. It may be slightly forward or slightly back. So finding that sense of weight. And then just by taking my hands and following the glide of the rib cage and then in opposition, kind of weighting that right sits bone, I can actually find, help them with that expansion. And then I can have them pause and wait there and then leave my hands on the back of the ribs and say, send me some breath into this. Can you feel my hand? Can you send breath into that? So there's a softening, there's a breathing with, there's a holding space, there's a being seen.
Oh, that's an interesting aspect, being seen, because that is something that is also happening in our community, I believe, that if you aren't the showman, showman,
you got it.
That is where and then you're not doing fancy tricks. That's where the attention goes. People's attention span is like 6 seconds. So it's hard to feel like you matter or you are seen. And so I think you're providing a space for people to have a Pilates workout, but you're adding these other dimensions that help them have a fuller experience. I think Joe would really appreciate this direction that you're in.
Thank you, Darren. That's really kind. Yeah, it's about being the facilitator. So how can I facilitate the movement experience? That's really important to me, and having intention. So, you know, meeting people where they're at every day, if they're everyday body, right? But also allowing that space to be transformative. Right? Just like taking class with you last week, where you gave me the correction of getting my ribs on top of my hips, like pushing them to the edge, inviting them to the edge, right? Holding their hand on the edge, saying, yes, you can do this. Come on.
Yes.
Haven't you done teaser with a twist on the chair? And I'm like,
yes.
No, Darian, I haven't done it in 3 years, but thank you for believing in me. Right?
Yes.
So we need our teacher. That's what we need. We need our teachers to hold that space to walk with us side by side. I'm not the center of the room. I'm part of the room. It's a collaboration.
That is another t-shirt right there. Because I think if you stop believing that and you only believe that you are the center, it's over.
Well, I think there's a couple different types of personalities, right? In terms of teaching, right? There's the teacher that says, here I am. And then there's the teacher that says, how are you?
Yes.
And they're just different. The here I am teacher has a certain vibration, and some people need to hold on to that because they're looking for something. But that doesn't align with me. I'm how are you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what you're saying. You're seeing this person. You want to know how they are. How is their body feeling today? What can we do today? Here's another point. If we are doing, some of us in the classical world, we do abide by an order, but it doesn't mean that there's not space within the order to explore and to pause, as you're saying, and to find something new, to explore or experiment with an exercise that the student maybe never thought about, didn't know that their body could move in a certain way until you're there, even if it is online. Especially if you have a good vocabulary and you have a good eye, you can take students through different planes of movement safely by very specific detailed cueing, as long as the student is listening. I spoke about these crystal singing bowls. It's so intriguing.
Right.
Before Carrie and I started discussing the idea of her coming onto the show, I would say for the last 6 months, maybe a year, there are these sound baths or singing bowls that I find someone playing on YouTube. And every night, I just am drawn to having that YouTube channel on. It's very melodic and very calming. And I was hoping that you can say a little bit more or explain exactly, are crystal bowls made out of crystal? And maybe you can explain what they look like and how you actually play them, because I know you're going to play them for us pretty soon.
Yes. So, you know, everything is energy, right? The reformers have energy. The bowls have energy. Everything is energy. So the crystal bowls are made out of crystal quartz. And the quartz is heated. Now, again, I'm newer to this work. I just went through my training in the end of February. I've been studying sound for about a year. Okay. So it's going to get a little bit me reading off the sheet, but
okay.
Stay with me. Okay. It'll get a little more interesting. So the quartz heated to a high temperature and shaped into various sizes. So the bigger the bowl, the deeper the sound. So the biggest bowl I have is a 14 inch. But you could have an 18 inch and a 20 inch and a 22. They could be really massive.
Wow.
Yeah.
And heavy.
And so heavy. Yes. So I have a 14 inch, two 12 inches, and two 10 inch, and an 8. And they're the same notes. So we'll get into a little bit of a music theory as the scale on the piano. So it's 7 notes. And with that, you have major chords that we're familiar with that feel harmonic, right? So you can play it more. You want a sound. You want to create a sound that isn't grating. Like when you have two notes, like a flat and a sharp, you want to bring harmony in. So resonance is one of the words we use when we talk about sound. It's defined as the frequency in which the object most naturally wants to vibrate. The research is not fully out yet. It should be in the next 5 to 10 years. But it has been shown that this resonance, this vibration, helps with cancer patients. And there's a wonderful book, The 7 Secrets of Sound by Jonathan Goldman. He talks about the power of sound and how our voice, our tone, humming. You show me some wonderful exercises with the classes you've done with humming, how that can calm the nervous system. So sound is so powerful, and it can move us as humans, right? There's this tribal, this connection to the earth that these bowls bring. They ground us. Entrainment is the process in which one system motion syncs with another. So our gestures, as we're talking, we start to sync, right? The energy of our voice starts to sync. Our breath in a Pilates class will begin to sync if we're in a pace. So that's another thing with the energy in the room. It really creates oneness.
Are crystal singing bowls super ancient?
They have been around for a really long time, and I would have to go look in my manual to get to the depth of that. So yes, they have been used in primitive times, but it's not. So with a sound bath, so you can have a sound bath or sound healing, right? Or you have like music healing, music theory healing. So those are different buckets. So I'm more towards the sound bath, which means it gives you a sound experience. So we could use chimes, and I have an ocean drum. So it creates this whole experience. Other instruments you could have are gongs, harps, flutes, a rain stick. It's endless. Cymbals. So it's just really about those layers. It can sound very natural, like earthy sounds, thunder. There's a whole thing, just like Pilates equipment. We could buy the whole system. So I started with my set. I have 6 bowls, a rain drum, and a chime right now.
And you have begun playing in your Pilates studio where you teach.
Yes. So I have a semi-private group that I've played for. We'll do a Pilates workout. And then at the end, I ask them to come in and ground. We start with breath work. They set an intention. What are they breathing in? What are they taking in? What are they releasing? So there is a little bit of that spiritual intentional work. And then I play. And we have a minute or two of silence just to kind of settle in. And then they walk away just kind of dewy, relaxed.
Is it the same premise as yoga was created so that they could sit for hours to meditate? You start from the outside, the power of the physical body, to then quiet down and be receptive to something that's on the energetic side.
So my training does not talk about the relationship between yoga and sound bowls. However, it has been used a lot in yoga. And that was my first experience, was doing an aerial arts yoga and being just laying in these big silky cocoons and someone playing the bowls for me.
That sounds amazing.
It was. It felt like I was in outer space.
Floating. Oh, wow. Yes. Yes.
And so I was lucky enough. So this area, this micro niche, the sound bowl and sound baths, there's not that many schools of training. There's
yet.
No codified system yet. Right? It's coming into more mainstream communities. But I was really happy that I was able to study with a teacher, Isabella Riviera, in Palm Springs and meet her. And just, she's, you know, the once you find that teacher, it's kind of like Pilates, that you feel inspired and led and vulnerable with, that you can go in with the work, then you become better.
Yeah.
So I feel very blessed to have the chance to study.
And then let me ask you, those semi-private students, after they've had their Pilates lesson, then they have their sound bath, then they have a minute of quiet or meditation. When they come back for their next lesson, are they different?
You know, Darian, I would hope to say yes.
Yeah, because you would be able to feel then.
The clients I have, they're wonderful. The integration, perhaps, you know, it's not teaching teachers. However, that being said, life comes in, and sometimes these, you know, little T traumas happen and they're kind of wired up again. So what I do know is that sound just gives us that next layer to downshift. And that is missing to me in a Pilates workout, because I would love to teach a 75-minute class, right? But we're always so in a hurry. I would love to do an hour Pilates workout and in 15 minutes just bring us down.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's the way the system is booked. It's the kind of studios we have. It's just the way the structure
is. Go, go, go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even if people would be ready and receptive to quieting down after a high power class, there's no time, there's no space, there's no room.
Yeah, and it brings us back to why are people in your class, right? Why do people come to the session? People want to really move. They need to sweat. They want to exercise. And unfortunately, a lot in this industry, right? People, one of their main things is I need to lose weight. And as a Pilates teacher, right? The work doesn't always correspond to that idea. So we have to push the work a little bit to get them to that heat in the body so they can get those calories burned. So they are hitting their goals, so they stay as a client, blah, blah, blah. You get where I'm going. You know, how do we back them off a little bit of that? How do we get more restoration? And so that, I think for me, that's that next path is because our cortisol levels are so elevated and the sound bowls drop us into rest and digest. They calm the vagus nerve, they calm the nervous system.
How did you approach these students initially? They don't know about sound healing yet. You're learning. You want to share. You want them to have this new experience. How do you introduce it to people that are just wanting to lose weight or just want to feel they just like being around you?
They've been on a journey with me, right? So I'm not totally new. And I think the language goes back to language. The invitation was, I have these sound bowls and I really feel you would benefit of just sitting and listening. Are you open to having a 5-minute experience and to see how you feel? And they were like, of course, we trust you. So that relationship was made and they go with me.
Would you like to have that experience with me and with our listeners?
Yes,
Okay,
I would love
great.
it.
We do too.
Yes. So I'm going to a little
Yes.
transition in terms of my settings to get the mic set up. So just give me a
Absolutely.
second and I'll move on.
And
Okay.
you can even just tell us what you're doing.
So I have my sound bowls in my Reformer home studio. And we're going to start with my 14-inch F bowl, which resonates with the heart. This is major chord, C, so that's a little sample of just the space it creates.
Wow, it was gorgeous. So calming.
Thank you.
Carrie, if other Pilates teachers and/or students want to learn more, are you available? Can they reach out to you?
I am. Yes, I would love that. Of course, conversations, right? That's how we all grow in community, and we all need each other. So I'm not the only sound practitioner. There's many all over the country, and we'll find you someone somewhere.
Wonderful. Okay, so how what's the best way to do they email?
Yeah, so you can. I'm on Instagram, so that's at Carrie Miller Pilates. That's my account name. My website is carriemillerpilates.com, and my email is
All right,
carriemillerpilates@gmail.com.
easy.
So that's pretty much it.
Yes.
Easy.
Wonderful. Thank you. Just inspiring and calming, and we all need it. We all need it.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for introducing this sound modality into the Pilates world. Thank you for taking a chance as this
Yes.
is new in my journey and sharing this process of learning something new.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for your time, Carrie. All Things Pilates is produced, written, edited, and hosted by me, Darian Gold. Mastered audio mix by Fabian Romero. This season has all original music by AKA Johnny. And if you're loving this podcast, leaving a review would be most appreciated. The process of healing is multi-layered and multidimensional. There are so many modalities available, and if we're receptive to them, we may be surprised that other healing experiences exist. But are we ready? Thanks so much for tuning in, and meet you here in a couple of weeks for another episode of All Things Pilates.